0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. And Chet, you and I have this thing all wrong with the Eagles. They're going to whip Miami, Tampa, and Detroit and get crushed by New England. How'd that work out for you?
Bill, my winning percentage is somewhere around Chase Utley's batting average for last season in terms of trying to figure out how the Eagles will do from week to week this year. You just never know which team is going to show up, and very few guys seem to show up for Tampa and Detroit. But fortunately, the team did dig deep and played pretty well against a banged-up Patriots team to steal a win. And that was thanks in large part to the play of the special teams, which is probably something that really sat well with the guy you're going to introduce in just a moment, a legendary special teams warrior.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about our special guest tonight. And based on the feedback we've been getting from our listeners, we're glad to have Delaware County's own guy, an Eagles legend, Vince Papale, joining us to talk Eagles and a whole lot more. And you know, Chet, our buddy Carl Henderson over at Carl's Cards and Collectibles gave us a really cool, neat 11x17 Invincible movie poster signed by Vince to give away for a trivia question later on tonight that I'm really excited about as well.
Yeah, that's a great prize giveaway for a terrific guest, Bill.
Absolutely. Well, Vince, welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable.
Great to be back. Thanks, Bill. Chet, what's happening? Chasing rumors, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Vince, it's Chet. And as I said in my email to you on Monday, I gave you the credit for that Eagles win since
absolutely. It
was a couple of huge plays by special teamers that put them in a position to succeed. You know, we're talking, of course, about the Maragos blocked punt return for a touchdown
right.
by Najee Good, and then the Sproles 83-yard punt return touchdown. Yes, 83 yards with old number 83 Vince Papale in the house. Coincidence? I don't know, but I think your presence had something to do with it, Vince.
I don't know. Maybe a little bit of karma, maybe a little bit of a lot of things, you know. But I'll tell you what it was. It was great coaching by Chip Kelly and his assistants and assistant staff and everybody on the staff because, as everybody knows, going into that game with a couple of 45-point blowouts, the word around town, Chip lost the team, they were letting down on him, blah, blah, blah. And, there he goes and pulls this one off. And those guys played hard right from the beginning. It's funny, Chet and Bill, I had a feeling going into the stadium and going up there at Patriot at Gillette Stadium. And by the way, if you've not been up there, do yourself a favor. It's only a four and a half, five-hour drive from Philly. You got to go up and see that complex they have up there. What Kraft has done is just phenomenal with them all around it and all the stuff. The only thing is make sure you give yourself plenty of time to get in and to get out. But I'm there in the stadium, and it was really cool when I walked in because my seats were right below Murrow and Mike Quick, you know, the radio guys. So so every time the Eagles are making a play, they're looking down, they're fist pumping me, I'm fist pumping back up to them. But in the first period, in the first quarter, I'm there, of course, with my wife Janet. She's there, my buddy, who was with Rich Brown, and he had my jersey on, so I know that's what really gave it all the luck. I was sandwiched with my wife with my jersey and him with my jersey, and I just said to Rich, I said, you know, in spite of all the penalties, I'm really feeling good. The offensive line's playing well. They're running the ball. We weren't aware of all the stuff that was going on with DeMarco Murray. And the defense seemed like they were in check. They started out aggressive. They started out gambling. I think what they did is they took a page out of Rex Ryan's defensive playbook because Rex pretty much crippled Brady, you know, with all those blitzes and some of the weird defenses he came up with. And after the first quarter, in spite of the fact of the way eventually, you know, New England going ahead, I felt real good. I just thought things were going to happen. And then man, oh, man, you know, the block punt, and, you know, Chris Maurer goes, he's my boy. I mean, I love Chris. We text back and forth all the time, and, man, that just lit it up. And, of course, you know, you get the defensive touchdown, you get Darren Sproles. I mean, he's just so exciting and just so electric. I still can't believe that New Orleans let him go. And there you go, you know, and we're up 21. And Janet says to me, this is a weird thing. She's, all right, you know, this is a great win. And the fans are walking out. It's already the middle of the third period. And, you know, it's like, hey, bye-bye, you know. And and then I said to Janet, I said, you know, sorry, I don't care who he doesn't have to throw to. That's Tom Brady. You're looking at a future Hall of Famer. And then when you know it, you know, the defense lets up. They go on that world-famous prevent defense that prevents the defense from playing defense, I think, sometimes. And Brady sneaks. He gets one in there in five plays and uses no timeouts. And then you know the fans are starting. Well, those fans that were still there, they're starting to get into it. And then the next thing you know, we're down by a touchdown. And then biting our nails and, thank God for a few drop passes, but some really aggressive defense and some good plays, and we got it done.
Yeah, who would have thought Chip Kelly outcoaching Bill Belichick and Sam Bradford outplaying Tom Brady on the same day? Go figure. But, hey, you mentioned DeMarco Murray, Vince. You know, he's not getting the carries he wants to see, but by the same token, he's not producing the way a lot of Eagles fans would have hoped either. What do you make of the whole Murray situation?
You know, I don't know. I went out to training camp a few times and watched him, and he had those little aches and pains, and you know they were sort of taking it easy with him and didn't want to press him, and I don't think he was in great shape when he started, so he didn't have a tremendous start, and he just didn't seem to have that giddy up that he had had with the Cowboys, and I don't know. You know, to me, I don't know what's going on with the guy. And what's going around town is, you know, after the game on the plane, he goes up and has a talk with the owner. I mean, usually in situations like that, you know, you work it out with your coach and you go to him first. So no matter what Chip is saying right now, I'm sure that had to crawl a little bit under his skin. But the way I look at it, he just isn't running like an Eagle running back would run. You know, Shady wasn't the most powerful runner in the world, and every once in a while you'd see him looking for the sideline to sort of take a blow. But, you know, DeMarco sliding for a first down against the Dolphins and, you know, running out of bounds a couple times, stopping the clock when time management is so important in this last game, I think he's just losing favor, you know. And they go and, you know, they put in Sproles, and, you know, and then the other guy, he's just running like crazy. Now it looks like Ryan Matthews is going to be prepared. And, you know, Ryan, for crying out loud, it's almost averaging 6 yards a game. So it looks like DeMarco could be the odd man out, you know. And you have to admire Chip for making that decision and getting the guy who's a hot running back and making him play and not taking a look at salaries or anything else like that. These are kinds of wins that you have to get, and you got to stay with the momentum, and you got to stay with a hot hand, and you can guarantee that it's going to be Sproles and Matthews are going to be the key ball carriers in Sunday's game against the Bills.
Hey, Vince, looking at the NFC East as a whole, and it's kind of brutal, and everybody's 5-7. What do you think of what was a rock solid, always tough division in the NFC East, rock 'em, sock 'em kind of stuff, and now it's just kind of bad football? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's bad football all the way around sometimes when you think about it. I don't know what's going on with the NFC East. It was always one of the proudest conferences out there, and you know, it's just like it's like the gang that couldn't shoot straight. Each one of the teams, you know, they take defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, every one of them, you know, with the Giants and where they've lost a couple games, and looking how the Redskins lost the other night, and I can't believe I was even thinking about rooting for the Cowboys. But there I was, you know, getting ticked off that one, you know, go on, throw the ball for crying out loud to 88, you know. I mean, it's indescribable. And you know, here I was, the guy last year that was saying you cannot allow a team that doesn't win at least 8 or 9 games to get into the playoffs in spite of the fact that they're a division champion. And here I'm thinking, no, I did I say that? I didn't really say that. You know, it's just, all right, you know, let's see what happens. And, you know, the Eagles have a pretty nice home schedule to wrap up the season, and they get by this emotional game on Sunday. Who's to say that they can't run the table, you know, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, hey, forget about what everybody thinks. I just read a couple posts on my Facebook, you know, about some not-so Eagle fans and, you know, just sort of blasting the conference. And, hey, it is what it is. And, you know, hey, it's the NFL and, you know, it's any given Sunday and I don't really care what they think. Just hopefully we get into the playoffs and start gaining a little momentum. But, you know, I have to tell you, I feel really good about one guy, and that's the quarterback, Sam Bradford. I thought before he got injured, he looks like he was starting to get his rhythm. And he made some really, really, really good throws and some tough throws with guys that are torpedoing toward him. And he stood tall in the pocket and made three or four just phenomenal, great throws to win that game on Sunday. And I give him a lot of credit for his toughness and sort of hanging in there, especially coming off a concussion and that injury. It's a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah, he only threw for 120 yards, but he did play well, and he hasn't thrown a pick
in three games now. We were running the ball and managing the football. And hey, look, he didn't turn it over, you know, and he was only sacked, what, once? And the thing is he made the plays when he had to make them. Everybody's talking about the offense of the Patriots being a little anemic because of all the injuries, but you know, they were pretty sound defensively, and he made the throws and he made the plays and we made the runs. I think at the end of the day, it's a term I hate to use, but if you ask Sam Bradford whether he'd like to have 325 yards and four touchdowns and two interceptions to lose the game, it wouldn't mean anything, you know. So he doesn't care about 120 yards. He did what he had to do and played a mistake-free game, and the Eagles came away with a big W.
Yep, that's what it's all about. Hey, part of the fun this weekend and part of the challenge, too, is the return of Shady McCoy to Philadelphia. Now, I don't want to get into the whole mess of him and Chip Kelly. I just want to talk about, you know, what he brings to the Bills' offense and how tough it is for the Eagles' defense to stop him. What do you think of McCoy, and what's going to happen Sunday?
Well, he's a pretty interesting guy, Shady, you know. Coming back, you know, Rex, you can almost guarantee Rex is going to make him an honorary captain for the game, you know, and have him come out there for the coin flip. Because he loves playing those kinds of things. And, you know, with Roman, the offensive coordinator, he's going to tweak that offense and do some stuff to feature Shady. Look, he's going to come in with a vengeance, you know that. He was always loved here in Philadelphia. It's going to be interesting. I don't know how the fans are going to react. I would like to think that they're going to give the guy a standing ovation, and then after he carries the ball, boo him. You know, that's what you do in Philly. You know, you respect what he did for the Eagles then, and we can't ever forget what he did in that snow game, for crying out loud, against Detroit, can we?
Yep.
And I like Shady, you know, and I've hung with his parents. I mean, it's a pretty cool family, but, hey, man, he's a Buffalo Bill right now, so the heck with him. I hope they smash him. But he's going to be running with a vengeance, and he knows the week. But, you know, that there's a lot of players on that defense he's not played against, because it's pretty well revamped, obviously Bill Davis knows Shady's strengths and Shady's weaknesses. And the thing is, man, you know, on the defensive side, you just got to be square with where you are. And you can't let, because nobody does a shake and bake out in the open field better than Shady McCoy. So it's going to be fun to see. Unfortunately, I'm not going to even be able to see the game because I'm still coaching at Bishop Eustis Prep, and it's their football banquet that day. So. I'll certainly be checking my mobile device often during the banquet, but it ought to be pretty interesting to see what happens.
Well, hey, Vince, I wanted to ask you before we were going to get into to the whole Invincible story and all that, but I wanted to ask you one more thing about something I know you have going on. Our show sponsor here, Bob Sullivan, he does the Shop for Kisses .org website through the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, and he works with Dennis Franks, and I know you and Janet work with Dennis Franks. What's that all about?
Well, Dennis is, if you don't know who Dennis is anybody out there, is my roommate with the Philadelphia Eagles, number 53, and we have this great picture called The Last Laugh that actually is in the Hall of Fame, and it's pretty cool because it's right under the picture of Jackie Smith dropping a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. So Denny, and by the way, Denny is Mark D'Antonio's cousin from Michigan State, and Denny went to Michigan. Anyway,
oh, wow.
Denny's got this network marketing thing, you know, Market America, and my wife Janet's a little bit involved, and they've got some tremendous products, shop.com. If you just go out there and look at shop.com, it's like an Amazon, and it's pretty fascinating, and And they have absolutely some phenomenal isotonic vitamins that I take and we take. So we believe in it. And that's, you know, but Dennis and I have been together. Heck, we were advocates and teammates since 1976, and we went through that first training camp with Dick Vermeil together, and we love each other like brothers, and he's the godfather of my children, and he went off and he did his thing doing that, and I went and did my thing doing this, and when we get together, it's like we never missed a day. So, yeah, he's as good as it gets. And Kisses for Kyle is just a phenomenal, phenomenal foundation and charity and just doing great work for some great people and a beautiful family. So I've been very fortunate to have the opportunity to do a couple of events for Kisses for Kyle.
Hey, Vince, I just watched Invincible again this morning to do a little prep work for the show this evening. Always a fun movie to watch. I know they took some liberties, of course, with the story, but one thing that was definitely true was, from what I understand, you guys did play that rough-touch sandlot football back in the early 70s. That looks like a crazy sport.
Oh, it was great. You know, I'll say one of the liberties out there, you know, I always do this thing when I'm out speaking. I do this thing, and I'll get back to the touch football thing in the Aston and also the Aston Knights and the semi-pro football I played. But I'm in my office right here, my home in Cherry Hill, and I'm looking at a really cool jersey that's framed. It's all red, white, and blue, and it's got this jersey has USA on it. And it's a jersey, and it's a sweatsuit that my wife, Janet, wore when she represented the United States on the USA World Gymnastics team with Kathy Rigby. And that was right around the Olympic Games in 72, Munich Olympics. So they stretched Janet's character a little bit, and Elizabeth Banks played it great. And, you know, they made her a Giants fan and a bartender. You'd have to give me a lobotomy to marry a Giants fan. I couldn't even consider dating one. You know, I mean, the Giants, Cowboys, Redskins, forget about it. It ain't happening. But, you know, the rough touch thing that you had mentioned, it was crazy. You know, it wasn't all tackle the way it was. It was two-hand touch, but there were a lot of things that went on, a lot of hits that went on. I can't say. I played for some really cool teams. I played, of course, for Max's. It's portrayed in the movie, and there's really a Max's bar. It's in Prospect Park, New Jersey, Prospect Park, Pennsylvania, right in Chester Pike by Taylor Hospital, and it's called Pogue Mahone's. I played for Deacon Ale House. I played for Cannon Cafe and played in West Philly in this league. I forget the name that I played for there. But I played for a couple of three teams when I was teaching school at Interboro, you know. And it was funny because they'd always have an EMT at every game, and there'd always be a cop car at every game because, without a doubt, a fight broke out. Without a doubt, somebody got injured severely enough to have to go to the hospital. So it was good stuff, some great memories. And I think one of my favorite scenes in the movie is the scene of the rough touch in the mud. It's just a classic.
Yeah.
I didn't play in that game. I actually went to it, and I warmed up like I was going to play, and then I pulled out right at the last second and didn't play. So, but they stretched it. But they did just a phenomenal job in photographing that and bringing back it's just some of the pure joy of just going out and playing the game. You know, like a lot of my buddies and a lot of your friends and everybody listening out here still do. It's pretty cool stuff.
You know, Vince, we were talking very briefly before we came on the air, and I grew up over in Ellingdale, very close by, and back around 1970, when I was just a 95-pounder at the time, all of our coaches played in that same rough touch league down there at Our Lady of Peace. And so as 12-year-olds or whatever we were, we used to go to every one of those games back in the day. But that was roughneck football for a 12-year-old to be watching, for sure.
Yeah, it was, and also to be hearing. I hope you were wearing. I hope you had some cotton stuck in your ear. There was a lot of stuff that was going on out there. Yeah, we were right behind the T bar on McDade Boulevard, you know, and then after it was all over, we'd all go over to Benny's bar, we'd go to Max's, you know, whoever it was. It was just the way it was, whatever team won, and most of us played for these taverns, you know, that was what it was, the losing team bought. And just good fun. But you know what it was? It was all the guys from Delaware County, you know, and some of them played college ball, many of them didn't. But we all got together and we played actually it was a dare by one of the guys that was playing for another team, in Ridley Township team, and he said, "Hey, Papawa, if you had any guts, you know, you'd play semi-pro football." And this is I don't know, around 70, 74 or something like that. And so I said, what the heck, I'll take a run at it. So I played, and I started playing for the Aston Knights. And when you know it, the Aston Knight led to the World Football League, and wound up in the NFL, and we get the movie. So you talk about getting a last laugh. That was pretty wild.
Hey, Vince, next August is the 10-year anniversary of the release of Invincible.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can summarize it in like 1 or 2 minutes, but how did the movie actually come to happen? Now, whose idea was it? How did it happen? And how has your life changed since 2006?
Well, my life's changed remarkably. I'll answer the last thing first, and it's just been insane. And in a good way, you know, aside from the fact that there's hardly any anonymity, and whatever, if I can say that word, and we experienced it at the game on Sunday, because if I didn't take 100 pictures, I took 99 from Patriots fans coming up, you know, and all that. But once word got out, I was in the stands, and it was pretty cool because everybody was really cool about it, very respectful. But it came about because of Rocky. Rocky was back in 2002 was turning 25, the movie. And mm-hmm. NFL Films, in conjunction with ESPN's Monday Night Football, Distant Free Play, if you remember that feature, decided to do a feature on me and a kid, a reporter, Pete D'Antonio from NFL Films, put this beautiful piece together. You can see it on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, Vince Papale, there's a piece there. You could just go to ESPN and you'll be able to see it. And when you know it, that piece showed on Monday Night Football, introduced by Stuart Scott. Jaws was there. And they were having fun on the air, and late and great and beautiful Stuart Scott. And the next day, getting calls from Hollywood, and you know it was an interesting deal. And we settled in with a group of guys that and Ken Mock, who now is executive producer for the new movie coming out, Joy on Christmas, with Robert De Niro.
Oh yeah.
And Jennifer Lawrence, right? He's doing that. And he decides to write a spec script. They write a spec script. They give the script to a whole bunch of people in Hollywood, and the guys that wound up with my script, one of them was Mark Giardi and Gordon Gray, who did Miracle and Rookie, two great sports movies, and they took it into Disney, and Disney fell in love with it, and as they say, the rest is history, and Mark Wahlberg becomes my little brother and starts playing me, and I'm looking here in this office, and it's just it's like a memorabilia of the movie and pictures of us and Mark and the kids. It's just been spectacularly wild. Beyond surreal, and it's close to $700 million in gross revenues, and the 10th anniversary is coming up, as you said, in August, and we're planning a big 10th anniversary celebration, and hopefully the Eagles will buy into it and get involved with it as well.
Great.
Great. Hey, Vince, I have one more question for you right quick. You know, you mentioned about still coaching over there at Bishop Eustis, and I know your son is playing down there at Delaware, and I know Janet keeps the post going on that. You guys are always down there watching, and what's that all about? I mean, how are you you're running, staying pretty busy, obviously, along with the other business things you do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm still very, very busy speaking around and doing the speaking tour, and that's how I make a living, and autograph signings and things of that sort. And we're writing a third book called Born to be Invincible. It's never too late to get into the game of life. So we're working on that, but yeah, I'm still coaching. And first of all, my daughter Gabriella is a senior at Syracuse University in sports management, and very, very proud of her. And she graduated from Eustis and about ready to graduate. And she's in sports marketing, as I said. And Vinny, you know, he went to Eustis, broke his clavicle halfway through last season, and had a few offers drop off. But Delaware's hung tough, and I really like Dave Brock down there. And he's got a great young team, and they didn't do quite as well as they thought this year, lost a few close ones. But, man, oh, man, next year, for the next 4 or 5 years, it's going to be crazy. And Vinny actually worked his way with a stress fracture, believe it or not, into the starting lineup. And as a reward for working his way in, he was blocking 35 yards downfield, and a guy was running in reverse, and they caught him. And he was like pulling a Riley Cooper, blocking down by the goal line, you know. And the pile rolled into Vinny, and he fractured his fibula. So he wound up being once they found out that he was out for the season, they shut him down. But you know, he's all set to go for next year. We think we're going to get the year back. But you know, what a great experience. And the thing I'm really most proud of, guys, and I appreciate you asking, is they're honor students. They're big in the community. They're just great kids, and it was so great to have them home for Thanksgiving, and I can't wait for Christmas when they come home for a month. So doing well, you know, we're so blessed, and, you know, Janet's doing great. I'm a cancer survivor, so every time I see my kids grow up and see some of the things they do, it's even magnified 1,000%.
Awesome. Well, hey, Vince, we do a short segment on our show that we call 10 and 5, and basically it's 10 questions with 5 minutes. You have time for that?
I can't wait. Yeah, somebody was busting my Facebook saying, don't softball them with some really easy questions. So
Go ahead, Chet. Yeah. Have it, Vince.
Throw a couple beach balls at me, boys. I'm ready. Let's go. I got my bat.
All right, Vince, I know you're a talker, but you got to try to keep your answers fairly brief here so we can get all of these in. Ready?
I'll keep them in 5 seconds. How's that?
There you go. Number one, tell us something about Dick Vermeil that we might not know.
He's a Renaissance man. He's a tremendous mechanic. Obviously, we all know about his wine, a big hunter, and just one of the most wonderful, sensitive, loving, caring guys I've ever met. I love him like a father.
Pretty darn good coach, too. Here's something I wanted to ask you about. You caught one pass in your career. It was in 1977. You primarily played on special teams, but you did catch one pass. What do you remember about the particulars of that one reception?
Against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it was Roman Gabriel's last completion. The great Roman Gabriel. Never forget it.
Yeah, a 15-yard gain. That's Gabriel, correct. To Vince Papale. Your lovely wife, Janet, who was never a Giants fan, as you pointed out, despite what we saw in the movie, she was portrayed in Invincible by one of my favorite actresses. Is it okay that I have a major crush on Elizabeth Banks?
I had a major crush on Elizabeth Banks. She is so cool, and now she's Effie, of course, and you see her on TV. She is just great. What you see with Elizabeth Banks with that beautiful smile and effervescent personality is exactly the way she was on the set, and she and Janet could have been twins. It was great. It was great casting on that one.
Speaking of cool, how cool is Mark Wahlberg in real life?
I can't even begin to tell you some stuff about Mark Wahlberg. I love him like a brother. He is just the best, and we stay in touch, and we love him. He loves us and our family. He's a special man.
A trick question for you, number five. How good a football player was T.J. Banks?
Oh, my God. He was actually pretty good. He did a nice job out there on the set. I didn't get to know him real well, but they were all fun to hang around with. I know they were adversaries, but they were all buddies of mine off the court. We had some fun times at Mark's trailer after they shot the football scenes.
Yeah, T.J. Banks, not really an Eagle, despite what we saw in Invincible. Invincible, of course, is a Rocky-type story. How cool was it meeting Sylvester Stallone last month?
I was off the charts. I hadn't met him for 40 years. I'd heard a lot of things about him, and when he realized that it was me, and of course everybody knows Sly, he just smiled and said, "Come on over." Took a picture, and I've got the greatest picture in the world with us comparing our rings, mine with the Eagles, and of course his. They give him the 80 championship ring. He was really, really cool. I liked it a lot.
Hey, what do you remember about your two seasons with the old Philadelphia Bell?
Just a great time, an opportunity to play to me in the big time, never thinking I'd ever get a shot in the NFL, and I treated every game as if I were playing in the NFL. It was just a tremendous experience, so great to be a part of it.
I remember the quarterback, King Corcoran.
Oh, my
all right,
God,
number eight.
All.
Yeah, in your bartending days in the mid-70s, Vince, what drink other than beer did you serve the most?
Which one did I serve the most? Actually, back then it was a whiskey sour.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the many things I liked about the movie Invincible was the soundtrack. Jim Croce, BTO, Rod Stewart, Jackson Brown, Ted Nugent. Any personal favorite songs or bands from the 70s?
Well, of course, Steve Miller Band, Fly Like an Eagle, but they couldn't get the rights to doing that, and it was really special to have Rod Stewart in soundtrack when they were playing a scene where my father was on strike. I love that soundtrack, and I play it all the time when I'm driving. It is so cool, and forget Invincible. It's just got the greatest 70s music. It's really neat.
Yeah, that's my era, too. I love it. Number 10, Kelly Green or Midnight Green?
Oh, come on. There's only one green in my house, and it's Kelly Green. You know that.
Of course. And one bonus question for you, Vince. Check your crystal ball. Will the Eagles make the playoffs this season?
Absolutely. Come on, I'm still bleeding green. They will absolutely make the playoffs. I'm telling you right now, they win this game on Sunday, they're running the table.
There you go. Further proof that Vince Papale is indeed invincible. He scored. He soared through 10-5. Great job, my friend.
Thank you so much. Great for you. Great to be with you guys. You know, have a great holiday, Invincible New Year, too. This is pretty cool.
All right. Well, Vince, I used up all the time we had for you, and we certainly appreciate and hope we can do this again.
I look forward to it anytime, guys. Go Eagles, everybody out there. Merry Christmas. Have a great and happy holiday, and Happy New Year. It's going to be awesome.
Thanks, Vince.
Back to you.
We appreciate it,
Vince.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
Okay. Hey, Chet, how cool is that, my friend?
He's good. He's good. The guy can talk, and he's fun, a lot of fun.
Hey, I have to say this before it gets away from me and I forget we get tied up in the rest of the show. I have one gigantic takeaway above everything else that he said that I want to share with you and get your thoughts on. He mentioned all those things, great things, about Dick Vermeil and never mentioned football. You mentioned
football.
Hey,
how about that? Yeah. Yeah.
That I thought, you know what? He talked about the man and not the football coach. And to me, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. What an amazing compliment to Coach Vermeil, I think, coming from a former player. I think it's just awesome.
And it's great that they've stayed in touch and remain great friends, you know, 30, 35 years later.
Yep, and Dick Vermeil's done that with many of those guys. I think it's usually a pretty big, pretty nice wine party of that Vermeil wine when the boys get together out there in Chad's Ford area Coach Vermeil's house.
Yes, sir.
So, okay. Well, hey, we talked about this Vince Papale signed poster tonight, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, for the first person that calls in and correctly answers our trivia question. Is a really cool piece. So let's get the question out there. And our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question, 929-477-2855. And, Chet, you covered the question, the whole thing, so if anybody was really listening and paying attention, you got this answer. Feel free to give us a call.
We snuck it in there. We snuck it in.
Yes, we did. Vince Papale caught one pass in his 3-year, 41-game career on September 18th, 1977. Who was the opponent and who was the quarterback that threw him the pass? Okay, again, our shopforkisses.org phone number to answer the trivia question, 929-477-2855. But, Chet, while the listeners are digesting that, let's take a break. Thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. And, Chet, as was mentioned, you know, Vince and Janet Papale also, along with Dennis Franks, are all part of the same organization that Bob Sullivan is involved in that supports Kisses for Kyle. And Dennis is an executive vice president, and Janet and Vince are both involved in that as well. So it's it all comes together here tonight for Bob Sullivan and his dedication to our program as well.
Yeah, it sure does. And I know Bob was looking forward to this one, and he wanted to make sure we did mention Dennis Franks, and we did. And I'm glad we did, and I'm glad that Vince still thinks so highly of Dennis.
Absolutely. Well, hey, we have my phone lines are blowing up, so we're going to take the first. We're going to take the first one that called, and we're going to see if we have a trivia answer. If not, we're going to go to the next one. So here we go. Hello, welcome to the show. Who do we have?
Hello.
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 Hey.
Who do we
have?
Oh,
my God. This is Eagle Dan.
I thought you had previous commitment tonight, Eagle Dan.
I did, and I do, but I had a little bit of time, and I just like to I can't believe I'm the first caller. I am the first caller.
I'll tell you what, if I knew it was you, you'd have been the caller, third or fourth or fifth.
Maybe he'll get it wrong, Bill.
Man, I wanted this.
Maybe he'll get it wrong.
That was.
Maybe he will. Maybe he will.
What's the answer?
Okay, Danny, here you go. Vince Papale caught one pass in his three-year, 41-game career on September 18, 1977. Who was the opponent, and who was the quarterback that threw him the pass?
It was a 49-yard touchdown, by the way, and it was against the Bucs, and it was from Roman Gabriel.
Well,
it's a good thing we didn't ask you the first part of the question. Because
it was
a 15-yard pass, and it was not a touchdown. It was in the middle.
You got the other part right.
But you did get it right. It was the Tampa Bay Bucs, and it was Roman Gabriel.
Yes!
Yes.
Wow.
So you got that right.
Awesome.
And as Vince added to the comment in the 10-5, it was the final completion of Roman Gabriel's career, which was a pretty
and
nice career
true.
Also.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
So Danny, you are the winner, my friend, and we will get Mr. Carl Henderson at Carl's Cards and Collectibles to send you your winning prize.
Wow. I can't tell you how much that is just awesome. That is awesome. And I was able to do this. Sneak this in. This is great. Vince Papale was a great guest. This is my by far my favorite show so far. Absolutely.
Awesome.
I want to meet that guy, and someday maybe I'll get the opportunity to meet him. I'll catch him somewhere, but, I mean, this
yep.
is just awesome.
Hey, Danny, while we have you on the line, I know you've moved into first place in the Pick'em League. Anything you want to say about that? Because don't get too comfortable there.
Well, I just want to say that, I got a lot of formidable opponents, and I'm not going to get comfortable by any means, because that's another prize I really, really want bad. So
there you go. 4 weeks to go.
I'm going to stay on it real hard. So if you're going to catch me, Chet or Carl or Ed or anybody that's out there, Jimmy Wilson, you better do your homework, because I'm going to do mine.
Me too. All right, Danny.
Well, hey, we're going to go ahead and jump ahead, and we're going to cover that right now, since Jimmy Wilson did win this week's pool by winning 13 games. And Danny is now the new – by the way, Jimmy is sick. I talked with him today, and he couldn't hardly talk. He's in bed, so he couldn't join us. But shout out to him. And you know, as we said, Carl's been holding on to that lead for quite a few weeks, and Danny, you've now caught him. But you don't have that big a lead either. You have one game over Terry House. My man, Mr. Chesko, just two games back, along with Carl,
yep.
Ed Chambers, and Jimmy Wilson. So there is a log jam at the top, and still 10 players within 10 games of the lead with 4 weeks to go. So you better not get too comfortable. It's not going to take much to knock things back around again.
I'm not going to get comfortable at all. And just to add to that, shout out to Jimmy Wilson. I want to commend him for taking the Eagles this past week, because everybody knows I didn't. A lot of people didn't, but I wish I'd have had the guts to take him, and he took him. And my friend Big John Roberts also predicted that one too. So those guys, they must know what they're talking about, because I sure didn't think they were going to win that game, and it was great that they did. I loved every second of it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Danny. Well, we appreciate it, and we'll get that out to you, okay?
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate it. I love your show. It was a great show. And Vince Papale, let me know next time you're going to be at Famous Phillies. I'll be there. Thanks,
Danny. Take care, Danny.
All right, Danny. All right, Chet, and do you have any follow-up, any comments on Vince's interview? It was excellent.
Oh, that was a whole lot of fun. I'm glad it went so well, and Vince was, you know, even better than I expected him to be. From everybody who's met him, and I've met him a couple of times and talked to him briefly, he is a great guy, very personable, easy to talk to, but, I mean, he's just such a positive guy and so much energy. He certainly brings a lot to the table, and I'm really glad he agreed to come on and talk with us. He was a lot of fun.
I agree. Loved it, too. All right. Well, hey, We're gonna move on. We're gonna try to cover little Flyers, little Sixers, even maybe little Phillies. But we're gonna leave our phone lines open if anyone wants to call in and comment on Vince or anything like that, or the Eagles. Feel free to do it. 929-477-2855. Well, hey, Chet, I wanted to hit you up on a story that's brewing today, written by Sam Dinellen. Regarding a salary cap dilemma in Shane Gostisbehere. Basically the story is there's a possibility of sending the Ghost back to the Phantoms when Mark Streit is activated from his injury. What do you think it is? I mean, it's a salary cap situation, but this kid's been the spark that's got the team kind of moving in the right direction.
I think it's crazy. I mean, I know there's a business end to consider when making personnel decisions, but and the point of the story is they may send Gostisbehere back down to the minor leagues when Streit is back. I just don't buy it. There's a business end to decisions, but sometimes you just got to let common sense prevail. And it's clear the Flyers have been a better team over the past 3 or 4 weeks since Shane Gostisbehere has been up. He's a key part of the power play. He can shoot, he can pass, he can score. He's got 4 goals and 4 assists in 12 games. So when Mark Streit is back, you find a way to keep both of those guys. Absolutely. Get rid of somebody else. Deal with the salary cap issue in whatever way you have to. But there's no reason to send Gostisbehere down. He does not need any more seasoning.
Well, and the truth of the matter is Streit's probably the best defenseman on the club. So,
yeah, so keep them both.
Putting him and Gostisbehere together seems like the logical thing to do, and somebody else has to go.
Yep. Well, that was easy. We solved that problem.
Well, we'll see. We wanted him here when they sent him, you know, when they started the season without him. So we'll see what happens. But if Hexie's listening, which he probably is, I'm sure that that decision has been made for Ron Hextall.
Yeah, the Ghost has to
say. Right. Yep. Hey, 76ers, Jerry Colangelo is, he's a heavy hitter in the NBA, and he is now with the 76ers as a 76-year-old. Does it mean anything? You think it's something the league was kind of forced into this? And, you know, in the meantime, the Spurs just destroyed the 76ers the other night, 119-68. That's about unheard of.
Yeah, welcome to Philadelphia, Jerry. He comes to town, and that's what he has to watch on his first night. I mean, on the one hand, he's probably thinking, what the heck was I thinking trying to help this team out? But on the other hand, he's likely saying, yeah, these guys clearly need someone with my experience. I personally love the move. I really do. I think it's a sign that somebody in the front office, whether it's Josh Harris or whomever, somebody feels it's time to start getting this thing on the right track for real, and they want Colangelo in there to ensure that Sam Hinkie and company don't hit any more reset buttons and that they don't screw up the June draft, because that is the key time, in my view, to get this thing moving forward in the way that most true Sixers fans want. So he's here to, you know, guide the ship. I don't think they're going to get rid of Hinkie, but I think he's going to take some much-needed advice from Jerry Colangelo and hopefully make some proper decisions over the course of the next 9 months.
Well, I think the structure of the organization is going to be interesting to watch now, because I'm sure they didn't bring Colangelo in here to kind of be a coach. They brought him in here to make these decisions, and what exactly do to Hinkie and the plan, or is he just there to be more or less a talent evaluator and help with that draft, like you're saying? And he already went on record and saying Brent Brown's his guy, and so that looks safe, but it almost looks like there's an awful lot of chiefs in the, or chef's kitchen, or, you know, however you want to call it at this point.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, it's been a problem at times in the past when they had too many guys in there, but I don't think those guys were as smart or talented as what we have now. I mean, a lot of people will diss Sam Hinkie, but I think he knows his stuff. And now they got Jerry Colangelo with, 45, 50 years of experience in the NBA, so I mean, boy, if he doesn't have something to provide and something to give, then I don't know who would. So I love the move, and I hope that they do make some good decisions for the future of this franchise, because there's still a lot of basketball fans in Philadelphia, and nobody wants to see a team go, you know, 2-80, which is, you know, what they're heading for right now. I think they're going to start winning some games, as I said last week. I think they're going to do a lot better in January and February once they have a little more season-y, once Tony Roten's back at full health. I think they will improve, and I mean, they're still going to be one of the three or four worst teams in the league, and that will ensure them of getting one of the top three or four picks, and maybe they'll get lucky and, you know, get that first lottery ball. We'll see.
Well, one thing you can't be doing is you can't be losing games by 50 points. I mean, it's hard
That's
enough to
good.
Get people to come to the house with. You lose them by 50 points, and teams, you know, like they did last year, if teams are going to stop playing their players when they get, you know, when they get here, that's even makes it worse. It's just not a good situation. They've got to get something turned around and start winning some games.
Yeah, because, I mean, as much as I love basketball and I like watching the Sixers, they've been tough to watch in a lot of games this year. I know that over the last 2 weeks, other than that blowout and maybe one other game, they were in every game. In fact, they had fourth quarter leads in five or six games that they didn't win. So they can be competitive on a lot of nights, but, I mean, you wonder if maybe the other team is just going through the motions for three quarters, knowing that they can turn it on when needed. But, I mean, I think they generally do play hard. They just don't have a whole lot of talent beyond the first two or three guys, so that's the problem. But, yeah, I love Brett Brown. I hope he doesn't lose his mind over the, you know, next 6 months and that he is back for several more years, because I think once he gets some real players in there, the guy can coach, and I think they're going to, you know, be a real competitive team in the NBA within a couple of years if they do well in next June's draft, and if they get Saric over as expected, they could start winning, or, you know, competing at least for a playoff spot as early as next year. Yeah, I just said that.
We'll hold you to that. That's why these shows are all recorded, my friend.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, before our time gets to one, squeeze in a little December Phillies talk with you. You attended the Phillies Holiday Fest the other weekend or last weekend, and you talked with our friend Tom McCarthy, and how was it, and what did T-Mac have to say as spring training's to roll around?
I'll tell you, it was fun going to Citizens Bank Park on a beautiful December morning on Saturday. And they had a real nice crowd. It was a free event, a holiday event, mostly at the Majestic Clubhouse store. They had, you know, discounted things for sale. But then they also had appearances by Tom McCarthy. Wheels was there, Chris Wheeler. Larry Anderson was there. Later in the day, I had to leave. I didn't get to see. But Charlie Manuel was there, as well as Scott Fransky and Ben Davis. They were there. They were just, you know, hanging out, mingling with people, taking pictures, signing autographs, and of course they had Santa Claus in the house as well, the Fanatic with a little Santa gear on. And I'll tell you, I waited in line for about 45-50 minutes just to get my picture with Santa Claus. Yeah, I know it's kind of goofy, but I wanted it, okay? It's just a great event. The Phillies know how to do things right. I did talk to T-Mac a little bit. He's heading down to Florida before long, and he's excited about it. I know the team lost 99 games this past year, but he's excited about it. I remember last year Tom telling us that one guy he was really excited to watch was Odubel Herrera, and he did prove out to be a, you know, pretty fun guy to watch, and he had a pretty decent first season as a Phil, and he was a Rule 5 guy. And so now maybe we'll see what the Phillies get in the Rule 5 draft, which I believe is tomorrow. I know they're talking about some outfielder, Tyler Goodell is his name, I think, an outfielder. And we'll see if that happens. And then, you know, before you know it, pitchers and catchers will be reporting in February, and we'll be off and running. And, oh, yes, T-Mac will be back on Philly Press Box Radio at some point, probably in February or early March.
That's great. Good news, good news. Hey, Ken Giles, I mean, it seems like things are heating up with them. You're seeing lots of rumors, and it looks like the package is getting bigger, maybe all the way up to three major leaguers. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, and you know, the new GM, Clintock, is that his name? Matt Clintock?
Yes.
I saw him today on Comcast SportsNet, and unlike Ruben Amaro, he actually confirmed that people were talking about Ken Giles and that they were talking to several teams. So that's something Ruben would not have done in the past. And it was kind of refreshing to at least hear that, that they are having some discussions. And we've talked about it before, you and I, and I think, you know, as much as I like Ken Giles, if you can get a great package of a lot of terrific prospects, you go ahead and do it, because there's always going to be closers available. They typically have a short lifespan as a great closer, so the team is not going to be overly competitive for the next couple of years. So if you get a great deal thrown at you, you go ahead and you do it.
I agree. Well, hey, as you mentioned, the clubhouse store had some Christmas sales going, and Christmas, there's no place better to go than to Carl's Cards and Collectibles. If you're looking for Philadelphia sports memorabilia, autographs, or sports cards in the Delaware Valley, Carl's is the place to go. And Chet, I know you've been there a bunch. I've been there a bunch. But you name it, in memorabilia in Philadelphia, they probably run through Carl's store at some point, one player or another. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I love Carl's store, and it's a great place to shop if you have a sports fan in your life. So, yeah, go see Carl.
That's right. So if you're out of the area and listening in, Carl will ship to you no matter where you are. Stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, Pennsylvania, 19083, to plug it into your GPS. Give Carl a call, 610-789-4996. And you can also visit his website, carlscards.com, or contact him on Twitter at Carl's Cards. And you know, Chet, one thing I wanted to throw in there too, something that Carl's gotten into a lot, and he's shown me a bunch of pictures, and he's actually posted some of them as well. He's into customized framing now, getting frames done where you can get baseballs and ducks and pictures and all kinds of stuff. And it doesn't have to be sports stuff either. If you have some other personal items, he's got a whole printing framing deal set up now that he can get all that stuff done for you, and it makes for just absolutely great display items for anything you might have.
Carl does it all at Carl's Cards.
He does. And hey, you're lining up a few more signings already. You know, current wide receiver Josh Huff was supposed to be there a couple weeks ago, and he had to cancel because of his back injury, but he is scheduled. He'll be there December the 28th, so if you still want to get Josh Huff and you have a couple of extra dollars after Christmas, he will be in the store. And then on January the 16th, Eagles Hall of Famers Pete Retzlaff and Maxi Bohn will be in the store. Chet, you know feel about Maxi Bohn. He should be in Canton along with Jerry Kramer, and I say that every time Maxi's name comes up, that those are the two retired, longtime retirees from when we were kids that are, in my mind, the most underrated guys and should both be in Canton.
Yeah, and you like Maxi Bohn, and I was a big Pete Retzlaff fan back when I was first starting to watch football in the mid-60s. So that's a couple of good gets for Carl. Pete Retzlaff and Maxi Bohn together on January 16th.
Yep, and again, stop by Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown. Or give them a call, 610-789-4996. All right, Chet, well, I'm not even sure how in the world we're supposed to make action on what this Eagles team might do this weekend. But here we go. Time's yours.
You know, I honestly haven't thought much about this one. But even if I had, it would be a crapshoot with this Eagles team. Maybe it's just the fan in me talking this week, but although I think Shady McCoy is probably going to have a 100-yard-plus game, maybe even 125, 130, I'm going to say Eagles 24, Bills 20.
24-20.
Mark it down.
I'm going to tell you,
I don't know why.
I haven't thought a lot about it either.
It doesn't matter.
Just because I just don't know. You know, I just don't know.
No, you can't figure it out.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to just take a wild guess here, and I'm going to say, because I still wasn't thrilled with the Eagles' ops the other day, even though the special teams did all those things they did, but I'm going to go 21-20 Eagles.
Okay.
21-20. Maybe a game-winning field goal. We need a walk-off field goal.
Ooh.
How's that sound?
Right. I'll just take a win, no matter how it happens.
That'll keep us on the edge of our seat.
Hey, Vince alluded to this.
All right, Mr. Jesko. Yeah.
Bill, Vince alluded to this. There's a possibility. They were talking about this on Philly Sports Talk today. A possibility that DeMarco Murray would sit this week, be the inactive one, assuming Ryan Matthews is healthy. If Matthews is healthy and Sproles is coming off the game he had, is it possible they would make DeMarco Murray inactive for a week?
Well, I'll tell you what. If Chip does that, I have a whole new respect for Chip Kelly. Because he will be admitting probably his biggest mistake that he whole entire offseason financially. Forget about McCoy and all that other stuff. Just the amount of money he spent to bring Murray in. If he ends up making a healthy scratch, that would really be something. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think it'll happen.
There's a lot of ego involved
in this
league.
Yeah. That would be something, that's for sure.
Yes, it will. Well, we're going to get to find out here before long. Well, hey, we're running out of time, so let's get our parting shot, because I believe you have one, and I have a short one myself.
All right. Bill, there aren't a lot of boxing fans left among my circle of friends. I bet the majority of folks aren't even aware that Vladimir Klitschko lost his heavyweight title belt in late November, but we all still seem to enjoy a good boxing movie. I really enjoyed Southpaw over the summer. It's available on DVD and Blu-ray now. And then a week and a half back, I saw Creed, the latest installment in the now four decades-old Rocky franchise. And I've got to tell you, it was great. Yeah, it was basically the original Rocky movie story retold, with Apollo Creed's son, played by Michael B. Jordan, as the young boxer looking for a break. And Sylvester Stallone himself, the original Rocky, of course, in the Mickey-type Burgess Meredith role. But it was fantastic. Good story, terrific acting, and yes, some Gonna Fly-type music, and lots of great shots of the City of Brotherly Love, including, of course, the Art Museum steps. So if the Philly sports teams have you down, give yourself a treat and go see Creed. You won't be sorry.
Well, and you know what? I've heard that from a handful of people, and just you, but everybody that comes out of the theater seems to rave about it. So I am going to put that on my list to go see as well.
Please do.
And my parting shot to you, Mr. Chip, for something that you need to go see if you have never seen it. And that will be this Saturday, December the 12th, when the Army and the Navy get together for the greatest college football game of every year. And I have been to quite a few, actually. And I've been to many, many other games in major stadiums between major colleges. And when it's all said and done, it may not be the best football you'll watch, but it will be the best experience you've ever had at a football stadium. There is nothing like going to see Army and Navy, and especially when it's in Philadelphia, which it is most of the time. So, Mr. Jesko, never been to see Army-Navy? Put it on your bucket list, my friend, because it is an event you will never forget going to.
It is definitely on my bucket list. And by the way, ESPN College Game Day back in Philly this Saturday at Xfinity Live from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Saturday morning.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And I have it, but I'll have to share it for the next time, because we're probably going to run out of time before I can share the whole thing. So we'll do it, but I'll do it next week, actually, because it'll be a follow-up to the Army-Navy game of a little experience I had at the game just a couple years ago that is kind of a fun story.
All right.
All right. So, hey, as we're getting to the top of the hour, we want to thank our special guest, the Invincible, Vince Papale, Carl's Cards and Collectibles, for their continued support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chetchesko, this is Bill Furman. Hoping you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, December 16th at 7 p.m. You can listen through our Facebook page or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio, and now on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.